Welcome to Daily in the Word.
If I asked you, what is God's purpose for your life, what would you answer? Most young adults don't really have a clear picture of what they should do after high school. In fact, there are so many options, the decision can actually be scary. If you're interested in discovering God's perfect plan for your future, or if you'd like to prepare to serve God in full-time ministry, then find out more about West Coast Baptist College at wcbc.edu.
There are a lot of competing philosophies and belief systems in today's culture that can't all be true. The question we're going to answer today on Daily in the Word, which faith? Stay with us. Coming up next with Dr. Paul Chappell, we're going to answer some tough questions. Of competing belief systems in today's culture, a lot of different systems that are crying and vying for your attention and for your allegiance. How will you determine what you believe? What authority will you rely upon? Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California, and the president of West Coast Baptist College. Today's series is entitled, Which Faith? We're answering some tough questions, but we're not just answering those questions with our own opinion or with conjecture. We're going to the Word of God, the final authority, God's written word to mankind, and we're going to rest upon the truth as He defines it. And so I believe this series will greatly help you and maybe a friend that needs to know Christ. I hope you'll consider passing along to them this series, Which Faith? Before we join today's message with Dr. Chappell, I want to encourage you to visit dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find links to today's broadcast and recent messages, also a vast host of other resources that will help your spiritual growth and your walk with the Lord. Before we join today's message, I want to invite you to visit with us at dailyintheword.org. At dailyintheword.org, you'll find a lot of resources to help you in your Christian faith and growth. You'll find a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell and links to recent broadcasts, as well as the Daily in the Word podcast. I also want to encourage you to prayerfully consider partnering with us financially. Your gift of any amount to Daily in the Word will help us to pay for airtime and to continue the work of teaching and preaching the truth, the uncompromised truth of the Word of God. But now let's open our Bibles, and here's Pastor Chappell to introduce today's message in this series, Which Faith?
We're living in a day when many environmentalists worship the creation more than the Creator. People who would spend their life savings to save a particular species won't walk across the street to serve the Creator God. Has it gotten that bad? Why don't we turn to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, as we study today, Creator or creation?
There has been much opposition to creation and to creationism because there is much opposition to God's presence in the life of an unbeliever. Someone that is non-believing, someone that has rejected the God who we read about and study in the Bible, would no way give credit or credence to the creative powers of God. This past December at Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, in a large courtroom decision, and perhaps one of the largest since the Scopes monkey trial of 1925, there was a decision that said the teaching of intelligent design would be barred from the Pennsylvania classroom. And the judge said intelligent design was simply creationism in disguise, and they did not want children being taught that there is a God who has power over the universe. And we see that type of battle going on, and in many cases, the world continually saying, keep God out of the public venue. And oftentimes when creation is presented, there are those who, having no illumination of the Holy Spirit, no knowledge of Jesus Christ, they will sweep aside in its entirety the doctrine concerning this matter of creation. Even for those of us who know the Lord, and sometimes young people in Sunday school, without faith in God's Word, it cannot be understood. I heard about a Sunday school that taught about God's creative power, and the teacher had taught how God created the heavens and the earth, and God created male and female, and the teacher gave the story of how God created Adam, and then from Adam he took a rib, and the woman was created from the side of Adam. And a little boy named Johnny, he was listening to that intently and trying to comprehend that in his mind. A few days later, he was at home, and he became ill, and he was laying on the couch. His side hurt terribly. His mother came and said, "Johnny, what's wrong?" He said, "Oh," he said, "Mom," he said, "I don't feel well." He said, "It hurts right here." He said, "I think I'm having a wife." He didn't really know how to interpret that story of how Eve came into existence. Husbands, don't take that joke one step further. But you know, human history began with man knowing God. Human history began with man understanding who he was, and then human history is filled with man turning away from God. In the beginning, God created, but since the beginning, man has rebelled, and man has turned away from God. I want you to notice in Romans chapter 1 this morning, God's truth revealed. God has revealed His truth. Some say, what about the person that has never known? And we'll look at those things this morning and in the weeks to come. And some say, what about the person that has never heard? But I want you to hear this morning that God has, since the beginning of time, for more than 6,000 years of recorded history, God has revealed Himself to this world. The Bible says in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them." God's truth has been revealed in the first place this morning in man's conscience. That is to say that there is a God consciousness found in all men. It is unnatural for a person to not believe in God or in some power higher than himself. This is innate truth, or knowledge that is not acquired. It is innate. It is within a man to know that there is a God. For the Bible declares that God is manifest in them, that God hath showed it unto them. History demonstrates the universal religious element from culture to culture, from continent to continent. And wherever men have traveled, they have seen people, though their worship is often misplaced. There is always the concept of a greater being. There is the universal understanding from culture to culture of the existence of a worldwide flood. There are many cultures who believe in a substitutionary atonement. Their faith is not in Christ for the substitution, but they have this concept of a substitutionary atonement. A scientist wrote these words: "This supreme being is to be found among all the primitive cultures, not indeed everywhere the same form or the same vigor, but still everywhere prominent enough to make his dominant position undeniable." You see, everywhere anthropologists have gone, and everywhere scientists, and everywhere preachers and missionaries have traveled, there is this universal understanding that there is a God. You see, man is aware of God's existence, and man is aware of God's wrath against sin. Romans 1:23 says this: "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. May I say, based upon the text this morning, that children are not born as atheists. They are born as theists. Atheism is a learned thought process. Theism, or the belief that there is a God, is something that is within the heart of every person. Romans 1:19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." God has revealed Himself in man's conscience. Secondly, this morning, God has revealed Himself in His creation. In God's creation, we see the revelation of God Himself. Now, to be sure, He has revealed Himself in the Holy Bible. He has revealed Himself at the empty tomb. God has shown Himself alive. By many infallible proofs, the Lord Jesus was shown alive. But here the text this morning speaks of His revelation through creation. Verse 20 says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so God tells us in Romans 1 that the creation is a revelation of the invisible things of God now being made known to us. Creation reveals the Creator personally. You want to know how strong God is. You want to know how wise God is. You want to know of His infinite capacity to hold and to maintain this world in its existence. Then study and see around you the Rocky Mountains, and see around you the rivers and the streams, and see about you the wonderful creation of God. For it was in the beginning when God created the heavens and the earth. Mark 13:19. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. That's Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. By the way, Jesus Christ is the eternally preexistent Son of God. He did not begin His existence in Bethlehem's manger, as the Jehovah Witness falsely tell. The fact is that Jesus Christ is eternal God. The fact is that Jesus Christ was there on creation's morning, and that when He spoke the worlds into existence. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Hebrews 1:10. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of Thine hands. Over and over again, the Bible declares for us that God is Creator, that He has all power to create and sustain the world. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Now, the Bible never defends the existence of God. It assumes the existence of God. And God was in the beginning. And the Bible does not start out defending His eternal existence, but rather showing the creation of the world. God is the eternal, uncaused cause. For the Bible says in Psalm 90:2, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou didst form the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Creation reveals the Creator personally. Stare out at the galaxies and stare out at the stars and observe the solar system, and you're just beginning to understand the eternal nature of our God. And then notice secondly, this matter of creation. Creation reveals the Creator powerfully. You want to know how powerful God is? You've got some problems in your life today. You're wondering if God has the resources to take care of your need. Well, the Bible says in verse 20, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You see, in the beginning, God created. That means to make from nothing. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. One author wrote about his study concerning God's creative powers in these words: biological evolution can only take place after there was some sort of living matter that could replicate itself and then grow in complexity through mutation and survival of the fittest. I wanted to go back even further and ask the cornerstone question of human existence. Where did life begin in the first place? The origin of life has intrigued both theologians and scientists for centuries. The most amazing things to me is the existence itself, said cosmologist Alan Sandage. How is it that inanimate matter can organize itself to contemplate itself? On the other hand, if the evidence points in the other direction toward an intelligent designer, then Darwin's entire evolutionary house of cards would collapse. Every man must come to this place in his life. Every woman must come to the place where by faith they trust in the theory of Darwin, or by faith they trust in the Word of God. Either we are here because of accidental explosions and mutations over billions of years and through the survival of the fittest, or we are here because God actually knows what He's doing and has a purpose and a plan for our life today. I thank God this morning. I believe by the grace of God, I am not here by accident, but I am here with God's purpose in mind, and you are here with God's purpose in mind, and together we are here to glorify His holy name. It's not all about an accident. It's all about the wonderful plan of Almighty God. Psalm 8:3, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Creation reveals the Creator personally, and creation reveals the Creator powerfully, and creation reveals the Creator's priority. You see, God has a will and a priority and a plan for this world. Oh, we may not always understand it, but be sure, my friend, there are no accidents with God. And God has a plan even for the return of His Son to this world. God has a plan for our eternal existence. He is a God who reveals great priority in His Word. Notice in verse 20, the Bible says clearly in the latter portion, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Notice this phrase, being understood. God says, you can understand my priority. You can understand my eternal plan and design for your life. Biochemist Michael Behe spoke of it in this way. The result of these cumulative efforts to investigate the cell, to investigate life at the molecular level, is a loud, clear, piercing cry of design. The conclusion of intelligent design flows naturally from the data itself, not from sacred books or sectarian beliefs. The reluctance of science to embrace the conclusion of intelligent design has no justifiable foundation. Many people, including many important, well-respected scientists, just don't want there to be anything beyond nature. And my friend, when you reject God, you will swallow hook, line, and sinker every lie of the devil. Why does Darwin's theory continue to be taught many times as fact in our secular colleges? Because of men and women who refuse to believe God. To refuse to believe God exists. Who scoff the Word of God. Who scoff the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Who blame every problem in the world on fundamentalist religion rather than face up to the fact that there is a God in heaven before whom they will stand one day. You see, evolution is not a science. It is a philosophy and a theory which has never been clearly and absolutely shown to be factual. It is rather for mankind a straw man to hide behind while he refuses to acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord. Psalm 90 and verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God's truth has been revealed. But notice secondly this morning, God's truth rejected. You see, the problem is not that men have never heard. The problem is that they have heard and they have rejected Him. They have turned their backs on a holy God. Now, how does the heathen world respond? Many times the heathen world responds by ridiculing the truth, rejecting the truth, living their own way. One boy in biology class, he was raised in the family of a scoffer. His dad told him there was no God, and he was sitting next to a Christian boy, and this young man with a little sarcasm looked at the Christian young man. He said, you know, it wouldn't make any difference to me if my grandfather had been a monkey. The young boy thought about that. He said, well, it might have made a difference to your grandmother. I like what Dr. B.R. Lakin used to say. I ain't no kin to the monkey. The monkey's no kin to me. I don't know much about your ancestors, but mine didn't swing from a tree. I'm glad today I'm not here by accident. I'm glad I'm here by the design and purpose of Almighty God. But God's truth has been rejected. Throughout history, throughout generations, throughout cultures, God's truth has been rejected. Notice, first of all, the Bible says that they possess the truth. The heathen world has possessed the truth. Verse 21, because that when they knew God. Notice that phrase. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You see, the world has known that God exists. The world has known that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 3:19, and this is the condemnation that has come into the world. And men love darkness, that light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now find that in your notes or in your Bible if you would. John 3:19, notice that. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. This is the revelation of God. And men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I want you to know something. Every man, every woman that you work with who says, wow, religion's a bunch of this or that, and Christians are hypocrites, and preachers are this, and I just want to go to hell and be where my buddies are. They don't want to go there. In their heart, they know there is a God, and God has revealed himself to them. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light. You know why many men will not get saved? They want to go on in their lustful ways, in their fornicating ways, in their adultery, their drugs, their alcohol, their sin, their maliciousness. The Bible says men reject the light because they love their darkness. They love their whoremongering. They love their sin. And so they reject the Lord. Oh, the world has possessed the truth. It's just they love their sin a little more. The old-fashioned word of God or a life of sin, and the world chooses the life of sin. Now let me tell you something. The world has possessed the truth. And from God's scale, there have been at least two times in world history where the whole world possessed the truth. One was when Adam and Eve existed in the garden. And even during that time, with just two people on planet Earth and two people possessing the truth, and the truth was so simple, thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, just that simple, even then the entire human race turned against God.
Friend, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church, president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Perhaps you've made a decision as a result of today's broadcast. We'd like to know about it. We'd like you to take a minute and respond to us by email or let us know that our program is touching your life. Also, at the website, you can find links to recent broadcasts, a daily devotional from Pastor Chappell, and many other resources to encourage you in your spiritual growth. It's all to be found at dailyintheword.org. Before we wrap up today's program, here's Pastor Chappell with a closing word.
My friend, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven, given among men, whereby we must be saved. That word must is a very interesting word because it's the same word that Jesus used in John chapter 3, when he spoke to a religious man who was lost without Christ. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again." My friend, this is not the must of a Baptist church or any other kind of a church, but Jesus Christ himself has reminded us that if we will have a home in heaven someday, then we must come to the Father through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation is not the gift of any church or any prophet. Salvation is the gift of Jesus, who paid for our salvation and covered our sin when he shed his blood on the cross of Calvary. And my friend, 3 days after he died on the cross of Calvary, he rose again powerfully for our justification. If you would like your sins to be forgiven, if you would like to know what justification is all about, then the Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you would call on him by faith today and confess to him that you are a sinner and ask him to forgive your sin and come into your life, the Bible promises that he will come in and you will be saved. May God help you today to make your prayer to the Lord by faith. If you've never trusted Christ, today is the day of salvation.
Well, thank you, Pastor. Friend, we sure would like to hear from you this month. It's a joy to know that our ministry is touching your heart on a daily basis. And when you take time to write to us or call us this month, we have a gift we'd like to send to you. It's a mini book entitled Your Pastor and You, written by Pastor Chappell. It will encourage your relationship with your pastor at your local church. It will help you be an encouragement to the man of God who teaches and nurtures and shepherds your life and your family. Again, it's entitled Your Pastor and You. We want to send this to you free of charge. It's just our way of saying thank you for listening. Thank you for taking a moment to let us know that our ministry is a part of your life. The easiest way to contact us is to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, dailyintheword.org. You can click on the Contact Us tab and simply jot us an email. Let us know that this program is ministering to you. Also, when you're there, do consider contributing to this ministry, and your investment will help us to cover airtime costs on many of our stations and continue teaching and preaching the Word of God across the country. So your investment is a great investment into the work of God. The second way you can contact us is to just call us toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. And then finally, you can send a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Again, we rejoice to receive your letter, your email, or your phone call, and we would love to send you a copy of this little mini book entitled Your Pastor and You. Don't forget, our ministry is hosting a cruise to Alaska. You will enjoy the beauty of God's creation in a magnificent and marvelous way, as well as the preaching of Dr. Chappell and several guest speakers, and special music from the Lancaster Baptist Church and West Coast Baptist College. This cruise is happening August of 2011, just over 1 year from now. We're setting sail in August of 2011. We would love for you to join us. You can find out more information on the homepage of dailyintheword.org. Don't forget to be a part of the cruise to Alaska in 2011. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.